be an old-fashioned tent meeting. So if you live down that way, just hop in behind the bus. We're leaving here at 5 o'clock. We'll be to Hickory in about 5:15, and then we'll go right on down to Statesville and right down to Trapman. Come and go with us Saturday evening. We'll be back early. Even if you work the bus route, you can still go. So let's plan on going with us, okay? Amen.
It's unexpected. But we're going to do something I hadn't done. I don't know if ever. Maybe one time. But y'all pray for us. And this song's always been a blessing to me. Miss Kathy Parker used to sing it, and I like it. Why did he go to Calvary? Why was his life's blood shed for me? Why did he suffer as no man has ever done? There's just one reason. I am the one he loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. When I'm sad, he loves me.
Listen.
Even when I'm bad, he loves me. When it seems that no one cares for me, I talk to Jesus and he loves me. He loves me. There's a voice calling me to an old rugged tree. And it whispered, draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb and a new place with me you can find. So whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Lord, whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'm willing to do. Take my houses, take my land, change my dreams, change my plan, for I'm placing my whole life in your hands. Lord, if you call me someday to a place far away, Lord, I'll go in your will. I'll obey. So whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Lord, whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'm willing to
do. Amen. Amen. Oh, that's a mouthful, isn't it? That is a mouthful. Well, tonight I want to take just a few minutes, and we'd like to have just a little quick bus meeting tonight. Bus workers, drivers, everybody, teachers, everybody in the bus ministry at all. Quick meeting tonight in the junior church. But just for a very short few minutes tonight. Also, the ladies. You want to meet with the ladies, right, Lorraine? Ladies, anybody who would like to help prepare meals for the camp meeting. And we need everybody to help. Somebody just bring a vegetable. Somebody can bring dessert. So if everybody will pitch in and help, we got three meals. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we're going to be cooking dinner at 12 o'clock, right after the morning service. And so if all you ladies would help, it'd be a blessing. Please don't put all the burden just on a few. So y'all can just meet right over here on these first couple of rows here as soon as church is over tonight. And we'll have the bus workers back there, but y'all can get in on the next meeting. You can get it basically started. We have a pretty good meal on Thursday and a bigger meal on Friday and a bigger meal on Saturday. And we'll be feeding the preachers and feeding whoever comes. And we got some new people coming to camp meeting this year, so I know it'll be a blessing to you. And the Lord will bless every lady who fix one bowl of chicken or something, and a preacher eats it in heaven. God will bless you for that, and you'll get a reward in heaven. You will. I mean, the Lord blessed you with the ability to cook like that. You ought to use it for His glory. Let's turn the Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 this evening. And I'm going to read you some scripture and just talk just a minute right out of my heart. And it's not an accident that you're here tonight. The Lord brought you here. And it's not an accident that I'm going to read this scripture. The Lord put it on my heart today as I was studying. And I'm going to preach to all of you tonight that are hurting and having trouble. And I know some of you, and then of course there's a bunch here that I don't know what you're going through, but the Lord does. You know, sometimes you go to church and the preacher get up, and I know some people go to church every Sunday and they just get their head beat in, and the preacher needs to do that sometimes. But sometimes we just need a little help and comfort from God. And I know there's people in here that are hurting. I know they are. Some of you I know, but some of you I don't. Be honest with you tonight. I hardly ever say anything like this, but to be honest with you tonight, I could use a blessing tonight. I've been fighting the devil. I guess people ask me all the time, say, Danny, don't you get tired? And I don't even know what. I'm tired tonight. I got to looking at my calendar, and I've preached in six different churches besides this one this month, in the month of September. This makes seven. And the reason I keep blinking my eyes is because they're burning. Because I ain't had no sleep hardly in several nights. And I've been burdened, helping people with problems, burdens and troubles and trials. I've drove close to 3,000 miles this month. This month. This makes the 29th sermon. And this is September 29. Tonight makes sermon number 29. I have done nothing but travel and preach the whole month of September. God's been so good. But I'm telling you, the devil has fought me like crazy. Y'all wouldn't believe it. Every time I've done that thing that I did here with that Illuminati stuff, I'm telling you, every time, I mean, I get jumped on with all feet every time I do. I don't know if it's just demons or what, but something crazy happened. The other night I got up and the equipment wouldn't work right. My projector was making a weird noise. And I turned the thing off and turned it back on. And then when I started showing the video, it would go so far and stop and back up like 10 minutes. And I'd say, let me show you this again. I tried to smooth it over. And it go, and then it jumped back in. I said, one more time, look at this. And I thought, oh Lord, please. You ever tried to pray while you're preaching? Try to pray while you preach. Now you get up here and you got this whole big crowd of people staring at you and you're telling them something and you're praying, God, fix that thing. God, help them. I mean, that's why you don't have to, you don't see many preachers doing that stuff. You got to be able to think like three different things all at one time. And I've had a great month. I wouldn't take nothing from my journey. I am not complaining. But I tell you what, I could use some help tonight. I could use some help. Look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. That's what you need tonight. That's what you need. He comforteth us in all our tribulation. Tribulation means you trouble. If you'll let Him, the Lord will comfort you. Now when you're hurting, you're going to turn to one of three things. You're going to turn to drugs, you're going to turn to another person, or you're going to turn to God. And that's I've been doing this so long. I've seen so many people. You're going through a divorce, you're going through a separation, or you're going through a disease, or lost your job, just devastated by something. I guarantee you, you'll either turn to God, or you'll turn to drugs and alcohol, or you'll turn to another person to help get you through. My advice, turn to the Lord. He said He's the God of all comfort. I want to talk about some ways God comforts His children. The Bible said, I'll teach us that all Christians come to a place in our life when we need to be comforted. We do. Jack Howells wrote a book one time and said how to help different kinds of church members. And you know, sometimes church members, sometimes we just need to be blessed out. Sometimes we need to just be encouraged. Sometimes we need to just be rebuked. Sometimes we just need to be taught. And then other times, we just need to be comforted. Can I tell you tonight, the Lord wants to comfort you. He wants to comfort you. You know, somebody said, I've heard a lot of preachers get up and say, you know, God's not mad at you. But the truth is, God don't like it when we do wrong. The truth is, God does hate sin. The real truth is, God does hate sin, but He loves you. And He'll help you, and He'll comfort you if you'll turn to Him and repent. And so, you get that layoff slip or loss of a loved one. Somebody dies in your family. You lose a mom, lose a dad. I guess one of the worst pains in the world is lose a child. Or one of the worst painful things you've ever gone through is a divorce. Well, I've heard people say, the worst pain I ever went through is when somebody died. A divorce is worse pain than that. You know why it's the worst pain? Because it ain't a sin for somebody to die. It don't bring disgrace to God when somebody dies. That divorce and all that stuff, it's a wicked thing. It's bad. And problems like that hurt worse than just normal physical suffering. So tonight, I want to tell you about three or four ways, quickly, how the Lord comforts us. Number one, He comforts us through the work of Jesus Christ. You know, you read the story of Jesus there in the Bible, and it says in the synagogue in Mark chapter 4, there's a man who had a withered hand. I want you to picture yourself as that man. Imagine that. Man had a withered hand. Here's Jesus walking by. Come up on this just a little bit, Brother Mike, on this little bit. Here's Jesus walking by. This man has a withered hand. And the Lord, instead of just walking right by that man, being over there with the politicians and the big shots, the Lord was concerned about that man with the withered hand. Now, Jesus is in this church tonight. And he's not just saying, I love this person because they're right. I love, these guys because they're deacons. I love Brother Danny. He's a preacher. He's got on a suit and a tie. That ain't the way the Lord. The Lord looks at your hurt tonight and he says, I want to help you. I want to help you. He walked right by them Pharisees and went to that man with that withered hand. You may feel like that man tonight. You may feel like, I'm not as good as the rest of these people. All these people in here, they're saints and they're all serving God. Here I am with my problem. My life's a mess. Jesus wants to help you tonight. He wants to help you tonight. Amen. The Lord wants to help you. Listen, do we really believe this? I do. Do we really believe the Lord is here and he wants to help you? He wants to help you. He wants to help whatever your need is. You may feel like you've got a withered hand. He's here to help you tonight. And you see the man there? He did help him. You know what the Lord did? He said, stretch forth thy hand. And that guy held out like that, and it was made whole and looked just like the other one. And the Lord fixed it like that. He fixed the man's hand with a withered hand. Oh, we know story after story after story after story. The maniac of Gadara. The woman at the well. Nicodemus in John chapter 3. That man at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. And on and on and on and on. And the Lord comforts us through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never forget years ago, and I was going through some bad times, and some of you remember, Carrie does, I think, when we were building the big building up in Marion, and I was off preaching somewhere. I'd go somewhere and preach every night, and I was preaching way over in the mountains. And I mean, I was going through it. Let me tell you. Y'all remember when those big trusses fell out of that ceiling like to kill me? And there was 57 of them, or 56 of them, I think. Let's see, there's seven of them, 49 fell and seven stayed up. So what's that, 56? And there was seven of them stayed up there. And 49 of them, I was in the middle of the building like this. Nobody was in there. I'll tell you all about it sometime. And my daddy's out there in the parking lot, and some workers were up on top of the building, electrician, and I heard something snap. And I looked, and there was little whirlwinds of wind like this, and I heard something just crack. And I looked up like that, and them big old 2x6s and 2x10s were snapping. And they were going down there like pop, 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 like dominoes, knocking each other down. They weighed 500 pounds apiece. They was right over top of my head. And I remember I looked up and I seen them falling, and I just took off running as hard as I could, and I run this way like that and jumped out the back and fell in the dirt out in the parking lot, and they crashed in behind me. Probably less than a second, they would have crushed me. They fell, knocked the front of the building down like that right there and mashed a man's pickup truck out in the parking lot. And I went out there and fell in the dirt, and I looked back, and it was $14,000 worth of trusses laying in the floor. It was wood that deep. 10 and 2x10s, 2x12s, 80 feet long across there, brother. And the newspaper come down there, and the police came, and they were taking pictures. And I want you to know, during that time, I was already going through a terrible personal time. Terrible. I mean, I was all to pieces. And I stood out there in the front of that building, and I couldn't help it. I mean, so I started crying. A big tear. I was embarrassed. But, you know, they knocked that one fella off, and he rode that truss down to the side. And I come that much of getting killed. You ever heard people say, Lord, I'm so mean, if I ever went to church, roof fall in. I'm the only person that's ever really happened to. That's right. And buddy, I mean, they like to kill me. I don't know if it was the devil. I don't know what it was. But I stood out there, and it was more than I could stand. And I started bawling. And the newspaper guy stuck in my arm. He said, why do you think this happened, Reverend? What do you think? Maybe God. I want to just smack him like that. I said, it's about like you, hypocrite. Want to come down here and try to say God has, you know, done this or the devil. He wanted me. I said, I don't know. And I went down and I got down on my knees and I prayed. And they talked about Osher, whoever them people are, Osher, coming in and shutting us down. They talked about lawsuits. They talked about everything. And I went down in my office upstairs and I got down and I said, God, you're going to have to help me. And we started tearing them all out and we didn't know what was going to happen. And they ordered new ones. We didn't know if the insurance was going to pay for it because it was the builder's fault. They didn't have them braced as much as they should have been. They wound up did paying for it. And I remember I come in one night and was building it again. And I remember walking across like this. I was walking in. There wasn't nobody in there, no power, just some 2x4 frames up. And I remember walking through there and it was more than I could stand. And some reason or another, this song come on my heart. And I started walking in there and I was saying, I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone. If I but ask Him, He will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. And I've been walking around there, and it was like the Lord was in there, just nobody but me and Him. And I'm going to tell you tonight, that Jesus can be your comforter tonight. You go home tonight. You don't need a beer. You don't need to smoke something to get high. You just got to say, you just tell Jesus. Tell Him. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. There's no other closer friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. I'm telling you, He'll comfort you through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Charles Wagle come in that day. He was a great preacher, and his wife had left him. Left a note on the table. I don't love you anymore. I'm gone. But that old boy, his heart was broke. He was a preacher. And he went down and he sat down to the piano and wrote that song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. And the song said, I would like to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so kind and true. I'd like to tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Let me tell you tonight, if you're hurting, if you're having a burden tonight, if you're going through suffering tonight, you just look up to the heavens and say, Lord, and tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. If you got sickness in your body, tell it to Jesus. If you got a financial burden coming up, tell it to Jesus. If you're lonely, tell it to Jesus. If you're scared, tell it to Jesus. If you're worried, tell it to Jesus. If you're having marriage trouble, tell it to Jesus. He'll wrap them arms around you, and He'll be a comfort. You can be comforted through the work of the Holy Ghost and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I like that song. I'll talk about the Holy Ghost a minute. It said, He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, in the dark hours of the night, when you think you can't go on another mile, and you're just about to give up, and you're just about to throw in the towel, somebody will walk up beside you and really put their arm around you and say, go on, my child. Go on, my child. Press on another mile. Hit it another leg. Sing another song. Preach another sermon. Pray another prayer. Hallelujah, brother. Just give it to Jesus and let the Lord take care of it. Amen, glory to God. I'm feeling better now. Woo! Hallelujah. Just about to get my second wind. Amen. You say, you preach 29 times, you can still talk. Try this. Try this. You think it ain't a miracle? Go out in the yard and scream 10 minutes tomorrow and come back and see if you got a voice. 29 times in 29 days. You know what? How do you get such a big mouth? The Lord gave it to me. Amen. To straighten out sorry people like you. I'm telling you tonight, you tell your trouble to Jesus, He'll bless you for it. He comforts us through the work of the Holy Ghost. He sure does. You know what the Bible calls the Holy Ghost? The Comforter. Every time I read that, you know what I think of? The thing we put on our bed. I got one on my bed right now. It's got goose feathers in it. So that's the warmest thing you can get. It's all cotton outside. It's all I ever use. I don't have sheets. If you put a sheet and then that thing on you, you burn up in the middle of the wintertime. I just sleep right under the comfort. That way, here's how long it takes me to make up my bed. Made up. That's true. You ain't going to see it, so it don't matter. I just mess up. Half of my bed is my sleep. And the other half is my office. And I do all the study stuff on this side of the bed. And I sleep on this side of the bed. And so when I get up, I just go, vroom, and it's made up like that. Less than 10 seconds. And buddy, you know what? You get in there and I don't care how cold it is. You get that thing up there and you pull it up there like that. And them goose feathers, God made them geese. He made them things. He made them things where they don't get cold, brother. I mean, they get out there in solid ice water, and them little feathers go around. They don't even feel the cold. And I get up there like that, and I put that thing up there. I keep it cold in the bedroom in the wintertime, cold in the summertime. Amen. And put that for comfort. That's a comforter. That's a comforter. And ladies and gentlemen, we're out there in this old world. You're going out there in this wicked world tomorrow. You're going to school. You're going to work. Hey, it's a cold, cold world. It don't care about you. The world don't care about your home. The world don't care about your kids
The world don't care about you. You need a comforter. It's a cold world out there. And the Holy Ghost can be your comforter. Just pull Him up right around your neck and walk around and say, cover me up, Lord. Wrap it around me. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's soul coming out of me there. I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, I'm telling you, He comforts us through the work of the Holy Ghost. Not only that, He comforts us through His Word. You can get comfort through the Word of God. When I was going through hard times, you know where I go? The Psalms. David wrote those Psalms because David knew what it was like to hurt. David knew what it was like to have a broken heart. Matter of fact, he wrote that scripture, said, a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. You got a broken heart tonight? God's for you. He wants to help you. He wants to be your friend. You're the perfect person. If you're in here tonight and you're all full of yourself and you're full of pride and you're, I don't need nothing. God can't help you. But you're the one of the broken ones. The ones that need a little patching up. Amen. You're a diamond in the rough. You're the perfect one for the Lord to help tonight. You know what I'd do if I was you? If I was a man, I'd get some of these men around me and get down here and say, pray for me. If I was a lady, I'd get down here and say, ladies, come and pray for me. You're not wasting your time when you do that. The Lord will comfort you through His Word. I tell you a good one, Psalm 88. You go home and you read Psalm 88. And you read, I used to read it every day. When I was going through terrible times, I'd read Psalm 88, Psalm 85, all them Psalms in there, Psalm 47, Psalm 46, all them Psalms. You read that stuff and it's just like it's reading your mind. You think, David must have went through the same thing I'm going through. The Holy Ghost inspired him to write those words to help us through any burden and problem. The Lord's got some scripture that He wants to give you. Amen. I'm telling you, bro, I've seen these old people. My mom, for example. My sister Debbie's got mom's Bible. You can pick up my mom's Bible, and almost every page, she's got one scripture marked. Almost every page. And all the way through it. Marked, 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 marked. Sometimes she'd write something by it. Sometimes she'd put a sermon title by it. Sometimes, you know, stay in that book. You want help from God? Put your nose in the book. Read that thing. There's where your comfort will be. The Lord will comfort you through His Word. Let me say this. The Lord will comfort you through other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why it's important to come to church. I've known so many people say, why don't you come to church? Preacher, I'm just going through a lot right now. If you're going through a lot, you need to be in church every time the doors are open. You don't back off from church when you're going through trouble. You get in. You know why? Because other people will help you just being around them. Now, you know it as well as I know it. You get that choir up here and they start singing and you see somebody cry and raise their hand and everything, that helped you. Lord, I remember one night I was coming home and I was driving home. Man, I was in pain. I'm not talking about physically. My heart was broke. And I was driving up the road and I thought, I don't even want to go home. I don't want to be there by myself like this. And I thought about a preacher. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go to his house. And I turned off up there in Marion and drove to his house, knocked on the door about 10 o'clock at night. He said, Brother Danny, what's wrong? I said, can I come in a minute? And I went in and sat down. I said, Brother, I just need somebody to talk to. You know, us men, we don't like to do that. There's something about us men that we like to think, I got you, I'll figure it out. But you know, sometimes you're better off just say, hey, buddy, I need help. I need a friend. Will you pray with me? And he talked to me and gave me some scripture and we got down the floor and prayed. Boy, I left there. It comforted me. You ladies, call one of your friends and say, look, I'm going through something and I need help. Would you help me? Would you pray with me and read some scripture together and pray? You'd be surprised how God would use your brothers and sisters. It'd be good if some of you ladies and some of you men in here just took it upon yourself to be somebody that just went around helping people. A lady told me the other day, sort of hurt my feelings, and it should hurt all of us. She comes occasionally here, and I got on her. I said, you come to church lately? And she said, some of your people stuck up, preacher. I said, well, we ain't perfect. Ain't somebody. She said, I walked right by somebody in our church in Walmart, and they just went right on and looked. They said, their nose is high in the air. If it rained, they'd drown. That's what she told me. I said, did you speak to her? Of course not. It's just as much your job to speak to them as it is their job to speak to you. Amen. Here's the way some of y'all go. We just walk right by visitors just like it's right here. And I said, it would be good if some of y'all just took it upon yourself. When you see a visitor, just go to them and say, hey, we're glad to have you. And sit with them or talk to them. Ladies and gentlemen, we comfort each other through brothers and sisters fellowship. I'll say one more thing and I'm through. Watch this. One more thing. He comforts us through the promise of His coming. Now we sing a song that goes like this. Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All sorrow will be forgotten in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. I'm a little scratchy there, but that's the words. Heartaches, headaches, toothaches, backaches, feet aches, no more. No more. Worry, gone. Trouble, gone. Job's over. Bills, you never have to worry about them again. Time clock, forget it. There ain't no time there. The Lord comforts us through the promise that we're going to a better place. I'm going to tell you something. I'm through tonight. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Man ain't a fool to give up this world. I was talking to him down there at Bright Light this morning. I said, you know what? Last year our church, and we're going to try to do it again, Lord willing, but Sunday, Saturday before the camp meeting, we got out and knocked on over 1,100 doors last year. 1,100 doors the people in this church knocked on one day. There's people going to the golf course and I said, look at them idiots. What's wrong with them crazy people? Using their gas, standing out there all day. Listen, when the Lord comes back, I'm telling you, He's checking everything you're doing. He's checking. And He'll bless you here, and when you get to heaven, it'll be worth it when we see Christ. I said earlier, we need some people that would fast for the camp meeting. We need some people that'll pray. Let's get down to business, y'all. It's only 3 weeks from Wednesday. No, 2 weeks from Wednesday. Is that right? Ain't Tuesday, October 1st? 2nd, 3rd, 16th. 2nd, 16th, 14 days from Wednesday. 2 weeks from Wednesday's camp meeting. 14 days from Wednesday night. Let's get in this altar tonight. Start coming. Get us a song. Let's get in the altar tonight and say, Lord, I want to rededicate my life to You, and I want You to do something in my kids, my grandkids.